The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, Tony D here on SB Nation Radio. Thanks, Ron, for closing out that last segment, because I'm in like a thunderstorm here in Nashville, and my studio lost power and the my internet and everything in one big kaboom. And I gotta admit something here. You can take me on top of a building. I can walk across a bridge. I don't have a fear of heights. I don't have a fear of spiders. I don't have a fear of flying. I don't have a fear of a lot of things. But thunder and lightning, for whatever reason, I'm petrified of. Well, I don't know what it is. I don't know why. Lightning especially, not so much thunder, lightning especially.
Inquiring minds want to know, are you still wearing your same clothes?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. I didn't know
if you needed to change at all.
You know when you get those storms? In Houston, you guys get those kind of storms that where the lightning and the thunder show up at the exact same time?
Yeah.
Where the lightning is just slightly ahead of the thunder, yeah. And you know that was right on ground zero of where you're at. That's what just happened. And I'm where, you know, I've got all the studio is all electrified and I'm connected electric with the headphones and the mic and all. And I'm hearing everything zap.
No, I will say this. When those moments happen, even the people who are, you know, even storm chasers.
Right.
They'll laugh, but it's like a scared laugh.
A scared laugh, right, exactly.
You know, like,
exactly.
You know, oh, that was awesome, and yeah, I'm going to check, let me see, two legs, okay, I'm still alive, okay, I'm good.
Man, I got to be honest with you, when Mother Nature wants to roar, Mother Nature, there's nothing like it, right? I mean, there is nothing like it. When she brings out the beasts, she could tear you to pieces.
Yeah, there's no messing with her.
No messing with her. Like I don't hear the thunder anymore, so it's got past our studio.
Well, you know,
so
maybe you got that one big one, and
that's it.
And Mother Nature said, "Okay, Tony's good."
I was like, because here's the scary thing. There was for a split second a staticky cackle in everything, and like things were like. Zzz. And I'm wearing headphones, and I know I'm not going to get electrocuted with the headphones, but it's still not it's kind of not the safest place to be. But it's apparently gone now, so we'll roll along. The Manny Machado deal, why San Diego, and is Antonio Brown heading to Crazy Town? That's coming up. It's SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us here on SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Your thoughts on Manny Machado going to the Padres. Will he disappear? Or will the Padres now be a force in baseball in the next couple of years? People are saying that this fits. there's a fit here. We may not have seen it coming. We may not have projected that the Padres were legitimately serious in their pursuit of Manny Machado. But in the end, when you look at the combination of things that the Padres are trying to do, the key has been is that the Padres are actively trying to win games. And so that is something that's at least positive, right? There's an organization that is willing to try to do these things to win games. Whereas take a look at Miami, probably the most extreme on the other side of the spectrum. They are not trying to win games. They are trying to get their payroll down and start all over again. Some other teams are like that too. But the Padres at least are trying to be competitive in a division that's very tough to be competitive in right now. And winning the Manny Machado sweepstakes, A, has been surprising to me because I didn't see it coming. And B, when you really dig into the Padres, which is hard to do because the Padres are not like the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers or the Cubs or any of these other big teams where you kind of are just you're just saturated with so much information about what they're doing and what they're thinking all the time from the national media. Very little is being paid attention to the Padres on a national scene. I mean, you really have to get local, local, local when you want to get in touch with what the Padres are doing and where they're heading. Very similar. I mean, there's a lot of other teams like that, right? The Tampa Bay Rays are one. You really have to get into the St. Petersburg market to figure out what they're thinking. Some other teams are like that as well. Milwaukee was like that. Remember, Milwaukee was a team that, even though they had made some splash, Christian Yelich was having an MVP season. You know, there wasn't a lot of national attention on the Brewers. There wasn't a lot of, hey, everybody, here's the Brewers, and here's all the here's what makes them great. People still went into the postseason not knowing their starting rotation. You know, if they even had a starting rotation, because they like to use like a pitcher an inning. But the Padres are even worse than that. I mean, in terms of attention and how much information that we have on exactly what they're doing. We know they made the Hosmer deal a year ago. Now they have Machado. So what team exactly do they have in San Diego? Well, they got a team of young players, and they've got young players coming up. A very, very good farm system that they've built. And listen, if you're a small market team that can make one or two of these splashes every couple of years, you better build your farm system up. One, if you'd like to trade for somebody, you have some serious assets that you can do it. You can trade with, or for the other reason is you're not going to be able to land another player on this kind of deal. You're only going to get a couple of these, and that's about it. And they're putting a lot of their payroll, a lot of their money into the idea that they can win pretty quickly with at least within a couple of years. You know, do they have the pitching? No.
The timetable for them is like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but
once all the pitchers and their farm system develop,
if they can land a good pitcher via trade or another signing, it doesn't have to be the best free agent pitcher on the market, but somebody halfway decent. Maybe. I mean, listen, it doesn't look like you're knocking the Dodgers off anytime soon.
No,
right? So the Dodgers are going to be in the Rockies have got a good pitching staff. They've got very good young hitters. It's, they could still have an off year.
That seems like an oxymoron to me.
Yeah.
That the Rockies have a good pitching staff.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I guess when they're on the road, obviously, they're on the same level as everyone else, but I don't understand how anyone can have a good pitching staff at Coors Field.
Well, the humidor has helped, but it still hasn't helped to the level of being at like sea level, right? I mean, it's a tough park. I mean, listen, I've covered a lot of games there over the years, and I mean, I used to cover about 30 games a year. So I used to freelance for this service, and me and a couple of other guys used to split the season. So I went there a lot. Like I'd go there for weekend series. I'd go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for a lot of games. So I saw a lot, Ron, of 4-hour baseball for 9-inning games.
Oh,
but the score was like 14 to 11.
I mean, I believe it.
And the team stunk. Like in the early 2000s, the team stunk. So you're watching crappy baseball with crappy teams that are really long, and you're like, I can't get out of here. Like, I got to still go downstairs. I got to get quotes. I got to write this story for this service. And they were long. And you know what was the worst? It was worst on the Sundays where the Broncos would play, and you'd look out in the crowd and be like 500 people. Nobody was there. And you're in a press box going, man, I can't even watch the Broncos in here. This was before you could stream games on the internet and stuff like that. So it was bad baseball. And then they got good in 2007 and won and went to the World Series and won the National League. But people are high on their pitching. They even Adam Ottavino went to the Yankees. They're still high on the pitching. But they could be hit or miss. They could be hit or miss. So the Padres got an uphill battle. The thing that is going to be interesting is the Diamondbacks last year had a pretty good baseball team and then just sort of tailed off around, let's say April-ish or so. Maybe, I mean, it was not April, August. I'm sorry, August or so. Like maybe like late August, they started kind of getting away in the race and kind of falling back. But then they went Paul Goldschmidt gone, right? AJ Pollock gone. So they're starting to rebuild. What is their plan of rebuilding? How quick did they think they can put that team back to a competitive level? So if you're talking about the Dodgers that aren't going away, the Rockies that are kind of are pulling, got 93 wins last season, so they've got a very good system, a very good team. The Giants can come up or down anytime, especially if the Giants are still in the running for Bryce Harper. If they land Bryce Harper, forget it. The whole Major League Baseball is going to run through the National League West. Are you kidding me?
Can they allow that to happen?
I know, right? I mean, is that a Rob Manfred go, hey, wait a minute. I can't do this.
We can't have everybody over there.
Because let me tell you something, America. If you think you're sick of Boston, the Red Sox, Yankees now, wait till Bryce Harper goes to the Giants. You're going to get a lot of Red Sox, Yankees. In the East Coast games on national television.
I was just looking at something that their payroll is only going to be $140 million this coming season.
So they kept some money down.
Yeah, and like the luxury tax for them is 206.
It's not bad.
Threshold. So I mean, they still have room to play.
They got some room to play. Wow. How did I not see this coming?
What team is this?
I apologize, San Diego. I did not see this coming. I was laughing at you in your pursuit of Manny Machado. I was driving you into a grave. Are you kidding me? And now you got it. Good.
Yeah, I want them to go after somebody else. I want them to do one more. Maybe, you know, not a Manny Machado signing, but, you know, around an Eric Hosmer type deal. I want them to go get something like that and just blow everyone's mind, like, you know, really turn it on their, you know.
I know. God.
That's just, I mean, it's still unfathomable to me that they actually signed Machado.
It really is a joke. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a joke offer. Not a joke offer per se, but I thought they were just in it to show off.
And yeah, that, you know, it's like, hey, we're here too. Don't forget us little guys. Yeah. I mean, you went on a perfect rant yesterday talking about how baseball is dysfunctional in the sense that you have, you know, maybe six teams. I'm going to say six teams that are in big markets that can spend. And they're the ones who have been successful all year long or each season, season in, season out. And you have all these, like, you know, smaller markets, like say the A's, who just overachieve for the time being and somehow find their way in. Or you have a team like the Astros. I mean, they're not a big market team. They just had a really great farm system and everything came together for one season. And
yeah.
And now we're seeing, okay, the Padres going, we're going to debunk that theory, Tony.
Yep, exactly. I mean, this reverses a longtime trend that, you know, like you said, I was talking about yesterday, which is these teams that have been, you know, and I won't say small market, but, you know, medium market to small market, just never stood a chance of landing these free agents. Yeah. Never stood a chance. And the Padres took it in one bit of news yesterday, changed that in one signing.
Yeah, I mean, because these teams, I mean, San Diego, will never say San Diego's payroll would be on the same level as a New York Yankees, right, or L.A., you know, the Dodgers. And this way, we're also always shocked, like, why aren't the Mets doing something a little bit bigger? I mean, they're in that media market. They can't. Is there still not enough Met money out there to take away from Yankee money?
Yeah, there's still Met money. Yeah, there's still some Met money that's floating around.
I know they're still paying Bobby Bonilla, but, I know it's not that much.
Yeah, they give him, what, $1 million a year?
Yeah, $1 million a year.
So
that'll soon be Machado's contract. $1 million a year for 80 years.
The West in the National League is getting very, very interesting. Again, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Coming up, the AAF. We're heading into week three. They were already in trouble. Who saved them? And we'll tell you what's going on with that league that I like. Coming up next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get an everyday low price on your parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store's price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So the AAF already in financial trouble. Needed $250 million from Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. D-U-N-D-O-N. Believe me, I have no idea who the Carolina Hurricanes owner is. But he saved the AAF and in a big way, too. $250 million. Didn't he just buy the league? I would assume he just bought the league with that kind of investment. This isn't like a short-term loan, like a payday loan. Like you walk in and you're like, I need some cash and payday's Tuesday. This guy just dumped $250 million into your league. I think he just bought it. Am I not mistaken here? Please. How much could this league be possibly worth? $250 million investment. It's not a $1 billion minor league. It's only got eight teams. He just paid $250 million to it. I think now he's officially, it's on him.
I think he's an owner of all eight teams, right?
Yeah. You know what? This is like when, do you remember the Continental Basketball Association, the CBA, used to play in small markets in the North? Well, they used to be like a typical minor league basketball system, which is every team had an owner. Every owner ran their, would work in the local market, work local dollars, work local tickets, work local, you know, everything local, local, local. And then Isaiah Thomas came into the CBA and he bought it. And what he did was he centralized everything so that everybody was sharing revenue. So if you're like Grand Rapids, let's say, and you're doing really, really well, but another team in the league was not doing well, Grand Rapids would share the Winnipeg revenue so that everybody was playing on the same page. When normally in the minor league level, you never want this at the major league level. You don't want teams to collapse. So you know, that's why teams end up moving. But in the minor league level, teams come and go, right? We tried it in Fargo and it didn't work out. So we moved on and, you know, now we have a team in Bismarck, right? Or we have a team in Grand Rapids, but we used to have a team in Lansing and that didn't work out. So you play each market and, you know, you let teams rise and fall based on their economic viability. Isaiah came in and said, no, we're not doing any of that. And it ended up killing the league, destroyed the league. If I was the AAF, I hope that they're not doing that. I hope they're not forcing teams and cities that don't end up supporting them in the long haul. Like it's hard to say now where these teams were going, but let's say the Memphis Express don't work out. Let's say nobody wants to go and economically it's not viable to support them with sponsors. Sponsors want to go with the Grizzlies or they want to go with the Memphis Tigers or they want to do something else. And so they can't get local dollars. It should die on its own. And the team, there should be another city that rises up and says, we'll try it. But I have my biggest fear with this story is, having worked in minor league sports for 2 years, if you can't make payroll your first week, you're in big trouble. You should have had, there should have been so much money in the initial run up to this league to cover at least the first couple of weeks, if not the first year of your economics, so that you're not scrambling for funds because You can't anticipate that it takes off in such a way that you'll just be making revenue the second you open up for business. This league should have done some planning, saying, listen, let's get enough money to cover all this for at least a year or at least halfway through the season and then we'll see. But after week one, they're claiming it was a glitch, but you don't get $250 million investment if you're not dying financially. So if they're missing payroll because they didn't have any money, that was bad foresight on their part. So that, I mean, these players are getting what, 70 grand a year or something? It's 3 years, 250. So I'll do the math real quick. It's about 80 grand a year, a little over 80 grand a year for these. I mean, and you missed payroll already? I mean, give me a break. Listen, I was lucky when I worked in minor league sports. I was young and, you know, I didn't need a ton of money. At the time my wife was working and, you know, we were doing all right, but we used to get paychecks and we used to joke about having to run to the bank. We'd be like, come on, let's run to the bank and cash our checks. Yep. We didn't know if they were going to bounce. Like, you're in minor league basketball, for crying out. Like, literally we would have games where I was in charge of media relations. The first year I was in charge of media relations, and my friend, the guy who got me a job, Tim Neverett, who's now works with the Dodgers, used to work with the Red Sox. He was the broadcaster in Las Vegas, and my job was media. So media would come, and we would have attendance. I kid you not, we'd have attendance. The president of the team, her name was Cindy. She'd come down and she'd tell me the attendance, and that's what I would put in for the media in the notes. She'd come down and she'll go 2,810, and I would look around, and I kid you not, Ron, I would go 1, 2, 3. See, there's two up there. That's 6. Let's see, 5 over there. That's 11. I kid you not, that's how I used to count attendance. And I go, how did you get 2,000 people in the Thomas and Mack Center? I was like, there's like 65 people here. She'd come down and go, and that's the number I would give to the media. And the media would look at it and look at me and go, what? Huh? What are you doing? Like, are you making this up? And I'm like, we're making this up. Like, that's what we're doing. And she always said it was ticket sales. I'm like, okay, even if it was ticket sales, why wouldn't 2,000 people buy tickets and not show up? Well, like, stop with the ticket sales.
I mean, I know it's radio. Can't they hear the difference?
Yeah, they can. Yes, exactly.
I mean, when you hear somebody go, "Woo!" you're like, that's not 2,000 people.
Oh, God. So if you're the AAF and you're missing pay- – by the way, real quick, one of our season ticket holders when I was in Vegas sat courtside every game. I used to present him personal stats because he really was into the team.
Because he was the only one there. It was easy.
Yeah, Robin Leach.
Oh, okay.
Robin Leach would show up. And I would always, every time I'd see him, I'd go, hey, Mr. Leach, is your stats? He goes, I love statistics. And he would look at the box scores and stuff. He just was totally into it. Players would walk up to him and like shake his hand before the games. He loved that.
Did you ever want to offer it with some caviar?
I always did. Oh, are you kidding? I always did. And he was always with some really beautiful lady, but it was a different lady every time.
Of course, man. Come on.
That's how Robin Leach rolls.
That's the lifestyle of rich and famous, man.
That's right. That's how he rolls.
You got to have arm candy each day of the week.
You would think that TV show would be just, no one would want to watch it if you were like couldn't make your mortgage payment and you were struggling with the car payment. You had two jobs, but that show was incredibly popular.
Yep. Dare to Dream.
They loved it. People loved it. Middle America, especially, just ate that up. Are you kidding? Ate that up. Skiing in the Alps, caviar dinner, hot tub at night under the starlit sky. This is how the rich play. Meanwhile, you're going to your third job on an overnight shift at a factory, and you're like, eh, one day. I'll take it. So, yeah, that was Robin Leach. He was our team. But back to the AAF real quick. This is, Ron, we might be losing this league. I don't want to lose this league.
We're not losing the league.
This guy just dumped in $250 million, and it's going to get eaten up in like 2 weeks. They're gonna slosh this down, and they're gonna go ask for more, and he's gonna go, I have no more.
Listen, I mean, every small business has a learning curve.
Golly, can I don't care how rich Tom Dundon is, and I'm sure he's very rich. But dude, he just gave $250 million to a minor league football team for the league. Come on, that's a ton of money.
League. Not just a team, the league.
He gave $250 million, $250 million to a minor league football thing.
And that really just floats him a week, right?
Right? I mean, what does that buy you?
Did they go all out that first week and just like overspend and like, don't worry, the money will come.
It's like new cleats for everybody.
Exactly. God. No, you guys aren't sitting coach. You're a member of the Express.
Second team I worked for the next year, we had a thermometer. You've probably seen this in sales offices and radio before. You have the big thermometer where you have a goal, and like everybody brings in money, you just keep coloring it red until one day you get to the thermometer, it gets all the way to the top. So we had the thermometer. We had this thermometer. We had this big thermometer on a wall, and like first section was red, and it stayed that way for the entire season. We never brought in any more money.
Ouch.
It was awful. But can I be honest? It was the best 2 years. I had more fun with those 2 years in my entire life. I had more fun doing that than a lot of things I've done. I've done a lot of great fun stuff, but those were really fun times.
Were there wacky promotions?
Oh, we had a ton of wacky promotions. Yeah.
Because I think I told this story.
Hold on. I'm going to play the hits. I've played the hits before. That's kind of a term that radio music uses, but I'm using it to tell, cause I know I've told this story before. And, with the Las Vegas team, we had Pokemon night. I've heard this story before.
I don't know.
Okay. We had one night we had Pokemon night, And what happened was we were in a promotions meeting, and we this makes me laugh because it just me and the sales guy just still chuckle about this when we get together even to this day. We had Pokemon night. We were in a sales meeting, and one of the guys said he could get his hands on a whole bunch of Pokemon packs. And some of these cards were some of the packs had rare cards, like super rare cards, and he could get his hands on them, and it would only cost X amount of dollars, whatever it was. And then we could make it Pokemon night where you could come to the game and you'd get a pack of these cards. Every person that comes in would get a pack of these cards, and these cards had, again, rare cards. I have no idea how Pokemon works, so I know I'm talking kind of above my head here. Nevertheless, I kid you not, people came in the door, took the Pokemon cards, and then turned around and left. Like, didn't even want to stay for the basketball game. The tickets were like $10. So we got the revenue, which was fine, but it was supposed to be come see the game and you would like the game and you'd have fun at the game and you'd want to buy more tickets. Like, we had like ticket tables around the arena. So like, if it was your first time, you're like, hey, I brought the kids for Pokemon night, but you know what? This is pretty fun. I think this is something my family and I would like to do. I'd like to buy a 10 game pack or something. Oh no. People came in, got their Pokemon packs and then left.
Didn't even stay for the first quarter.
Didn't stay for a tip off. Are you kidding? Just took off back in their car.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, bad, and the dumb. We start with the good as Ron Culver brings us the stories of the day.
Now, one thing you had mentioned yesterday was would we ever deviate from going in order?
Yes.
And I said, no, I like to do a good, the bad, and dumb, you know, go in that order. Today, though, I will deviate from going good, bad, dumb, in
okay,
order.
So what are we calling this segment now?
This segment, I guess, will be good, dumb, bad.
Good, dumb, bad. Okay, we're going to start with, but we'll start with the good.
We're still going to start with the good. And I can't think of a better good because we saw the return of this guy last night.
Let's get it on!
Now, does that ring a bell to you, Tony?
Of course it does. That is Seinfeld.
Yes.
That is Elaine's boyfriend, who is the big Devils fan.
David Putty returned to the stadium last night.
That was the actor, right? The actor who played the...
What's his name? Patrick Warburton.
Yes, Warburton. Yes. And he went as the gig from Seinfeld, the same kind of deal.
And yesterday he was there for the tip-off, face painted, tore his jersey off just like we all wanted him to do, and got the crowd hyped up. He went there, not to tip off, the puck drop.
The puck drop.
And it was all for charity. That's why we did it. It was all for St. Jude. So that's why, I mean, it's good because of the cause, but it's also good because we need to see more rabid sports fans. You know, we've had a lot of TV shows where the characters themselves were rabid sports fans. We need them to come to the stadiums like this.
They must have gone crazy at the arena last night.
And seriously, what are the Devils doing right now?
I don't know.
I don't know because I don't follow hockey. Maybe they're good.
I know Tampa Bay is good. That's all I got. And Nashville's pretty good. So that's all I got. But I'm sure the Devils are decent enough. But still, they must have gone crazy last night for that.
No, it was, yes.
It's one of the more famous... what do you call it? Famous Hollywood
moments.
Portrayal, or not Hollywood
moments.
Per se, but you know, in pop culture, the devil, the crazy Seinfeld Devils fan, David Putty. That must have been great.
That was the crowd was electric.
It
was one of those things where it was so loud in there. You know, like just your eardrums are just ringing.
Yeah,
that's the feeling I'm getting.
By the way, how do millennials? And I'd love to know this if you're in your 20s. How do you view Seinfeld when you watch Seinfeld?
That's a dumb show. It's about nothing.
Right? Exactly. Do you look at that show and go, because you're getting, listen, if you're in your 20s And you're getting some good television. Like, there's some good TV shows, well-written shows that are on TV right now. Some of it's silly, but like Netflix has got some good stuff on there.
Right.
Do you look at a show like Seinfeld that is iconic because it was about nothing? The reason why it was successful was because it was about nothing or really basic things, but it was funny. Do millennials see that differently than you and I saw it at the time? Because when we saw it, it was like, this, there's nothing like this on TV. This is fantastic.
No, and
this
really,
is really good.
Because most TV shows and most sitcoms do this too. Each show is always its individual show.
Yeah, self-contained,
but,
right.
But there is a running storyline.
Yep.
Going through it. With Seinfeld, I don't ever really remember a running storyline that lasted from beginning of the season to end of the season.
And there is something, there are things in Seinfeld, storylines in Seinfeld that just don't work for millennials. Like when they go see the boy in the bubble and they yep. get lost. Like, nobody gets lost anymore, right?
Lost in the parking garage. I mean, yeah, they can't. The entire show, 30 minutes, was them just walking around in a parking garage.
Yeah, George with his answering machine. Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Like, nobody has answering machines. It's so different. But I wonder if millennials still go, hey, listen, I know some of this technology makes life different, but I can still appreciate what this exactly was. So,
I don't know if there is a true appreciation of it.
Seinfeld is one of those shows, man, if it's on like TBS and I'm just hanging around the afternoon, I'll just throw it on. I don't even have to watch it. I just kind of have it as noise and it's still hilarious. So, all right. So we're going to the dumb now.
And, you know, there's been a lot of this dumbness happening lately. And I'm just going to highlight one. It's been, you know, it's Fashion Week in New York. And did you see the story?
I saw that it was Fashion Week, but I didn't see anything.
You know, the company Burberry whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they, you know, they're a fashion forward thinking company, correct? Well,
I would assume yes.
They came out with a hoodie.
Oh, no, they did not.
They came out with a hoodie that, you know how hoodies usually have drawstrings?
Yeah.
Well, this one formed a noose at the end of it.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Their excuse was that they were going for a nautical theme. But when you see,
that's not true.
When you see this picture, it is anything but nautical.
What are you putting it into a captain's knot? What are you supposed to do with that?
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
It's a noose. There's no, and I guess, I mean, not only is it part of the hoodie, you can also get it separately as like a necklace to wear.
Really?
It's a noose.
I saw something online where somebody had a design for a sweater that had like a partial face mask that looked like you were in blackface when you wore it. And I thought,
yes.
How are you designing this? Aren't we all on the same page with this kind of stuff?
Listen,
or no?
I emailed you the photo, so you can tell me if this looks nautical to you.
All right, I'll take a look at it.
But I don't understand. I mean, I get it that fashion, you know, you want to try to be edgy. You want to try to be cutting edge. I mean, listen, we totally completely ignored the fact that, you know, because of, you know, Fashion Week going on in New York, that one of the predictions is that men will be wearing skirts soon.
Yeah, right.
Let me tell you something. It's not going to happen unless you're Scottish. You're not, you know, no man is ever going to. It's the same thing as, you know, there last year, or was it 2 years ago, they said the man, you know, men are going to be walking around in rompers. It's not going to happen.
And no, that's silly.
There's certain fashion forward things. I guess they're just trying to set themselves apart. I don't know who in their mind, like what man would ever want to wear a skirt.
No, this is a hangman's noose. This is not a nautical thing.
That's not a nautical
thing. I'm not even a boat person, and I know this isn't a nautical thing.
And that's, I mean, it's silly. It's just so dumb that I don't understand. I don't understand the thinking behind it.
I don't get the fashion industry either, because I never see it, like, where obviously I don't live in New York City, so I'm not, you know, I'm not one of those. I just don't, to me, I don't see it. Like, I see these crazy out designer outfits and I go, I never see them walking around.
Right.
Like, I don't see them in cities I go to. So I don't know what the appeal is. I don't know who's buying them, why they're buying them, what trend they're setting. I never get it. So
that's
very dumb. So now there's a bad, cause that could be could have been your bad.
No, that was close to my bad, but, We've often talked about this on the air, and that's why it's bad.
Okay.
There's an Elon Musk backed company, and you know who you kind of have a feeling where I'm going with this, don't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
They an Elon Musk backed company developed a AI machine.
Oh, no.
That is so good at writing. So good at writing. The scientists who created it are too scared to release it to the world.
See, why are we doing this?
Right. I guess this writing machine can accurately, it's like a, we have it in, like, you know, when you're texting and it predicts what word you're going to say next. It's along that level, except that it can impersonate celebrities or people in position of power.
I was texting my brother not that long ago, and I was talking about next Christmas, okay? Not this Christmas we just had, but next Christmas. And I was texting my brother, and I wrote, what are your plans for Christmas came up? And I thought, that could have been anything. I could have been asking him, what are your plans for Saturday? What are your plans for Thanksgiving? What are your plans for Easter that hasn't even shown up yet? What are your plans for your birthday? What are your plans for graduation? It could have been a number of things that are going to come on the calendar before Christmas. And yet the first thing that popped up was Christmas, and I got really freaked out. Because I thought, this stupid phone is reading my mind.
But that's on a minor level, minor scale. It predicted a word for you, and you're like, I
freaked out. So what is this doing?
This one is called the GPT-2, and it was trained on a data set of 8 million web pages and so good at mimicking the style and tone of a piece of writing that has been described as a text version of deep fakes.
Oh, this is not good.
So basically what it can do, it can realistically replicate celebrities or world leaders in video footage.
Okay, we're done with this, right? We're done.
They're going to keep pushing it.
No, we're done. No. I don't mean we're done as in keep pushing it. I mean we're done as a human race.
Oh yeah,
it's over.
Yeah, Skynet.
We had a good run. We had a good run.
We controlled. We
by
survived.
Estimates, what, 10,000 years? We survived. We invented tools. You know, we formed societies. We built technology up, and now we're creating the thing that's going to end us. Because this is the thing, Ron. They can't stop it. They can't stop it. Right? It's like weapons. Everybody is on the same page. Like, that bomb, that's not good. And yet we build them anyway because we know, like, we should build them. So these AI machines, we go, hey, that's not good. We don't want to release this, but I can't help but just continue to program and build these things.
No, what's scary is that I am led to believe that the AI is letting us think that we're shutting it down.
Oh, right. Like okay, you're in control, humans.
You turned me off. I'm done.
Nothing I can do.
Nope.
God, I'm so scary.
And they developed a machine that can mimic world leaders. I can't see any issue with that.
No, not at all. And so that means that a computer can create audio and video of the president or a world leader saying something.
Yeah.
At any time they want.
Yep. Pretty much.
And so we're going to have to find out if that's real or not, and we may not have time to find out if it's real or not.
Because the bombs are already flying.
If it requires us. Do you remember War Games?
Yes, I was about to bring that up.
When Joshua was playing, and Joshua was like, I'm launching the missiles, and they're like, Joshua, how about we play tic-tac-toe, Joshua? And Joshua's like, okay. And then you had to play millions and millions and millions of tic-tac-toe games against itself to then figure out that, nuclear war, nobody ever wins, so I better shut these missiles down.
See, what I don't mind...
Because remember, Whopper was running, and they were like, we can't even shut this thing off!
But what I don't mind is, you know, Joshua's voice.
Oh, that was scary.
If we heard that, we'd be like, okay, no, that's a computer.
Yeah.
Now you're saying that we're developing something that can sound like, you know, President Trump or, you know, Prime Minister of England or President of France, Putin. We're in trouble.
We are in big trouble. We are in big trouble. This is it. This is it, folks. This is it.
And I don't get it. Like, these scientists keep developing it and then like, oh, this is getting scary. Let's shut it off. Like, why'd you start in the first place? What think tank were you sitting in? It's like, you know what? Hey, I got an idea. Let's just go ahead and create an artificial language. I mean, we already talked about how, you know, they were creating an artificial language and it shut it down because, you know, the two AIs were communicating with each other. They developed their own language talking to each other.
Listen, I'm gonna warn you what Elon Musk said. Okay. I'm gonna warn everybody. This is what Elon Musk's fears about AI is that if you give AI a problem to solve and you say, what is the best way to solve a problem? It inevitably gets to the solution of get rid of the humans. That is on the list. right? So if you say, man, global warming, is there a practical solution to global warming rather than, you know, cutting all cars off? So you put the community global, and it always goes, get rid of humans. Even and Elon Musk, the better example is when Elon Musk said spam email. Like, I just want to get rid of spam email. Yikes. The computer will go down a list of how it can get rid of spam email, and it comes up with, get rid of the people giving you spam email. Get rid of the humans.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It always comes down to it.
It makes sense why he's developing spacecraft to take him to Mars.
Yeah,
he's trying
exactly.
He knows, I got to get off this planet if I want to live.
A ship that he can run. Thank God. That is, you know what? That might be the bad of the week.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done.
A little scared.
By the way, I got a real quick text from somebody who said the Devils are a bad bottom of the division team.
There we go.
All right, thank you.
So they need putty.
Because, you know, here's the deal. I am not looking it up. Okay? Sorry, hockey guys. I'm just not looking it up. There's nothing I can do about it.
So, you think right now it goes, you know, in our current sports landscape, you know, you got the NBA, NFL, MLB, then it's like AAF, NHL.
Yeah, right, yeah, and then NHL, poor NHL. Oh, poor NHL. The Blues are the hottest team in the league and nobody cares, right? 800-777-2907, it's SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So Bryce Harper, today, tomorrow, when are we going to get this bit of news, I wonder?
It's got to be any time now, right?
Any time now.
Now we know
I
what the number is. I mean, probably shooting for at least 10 years, 326, to have the richest contract ever.
Man, $300 million to live in San Diego. Even though you're going to pay a lot of taxes, it's still pretty sweet.
Nah, he'll do well. He'll be fine.
It's pretty awesome. It'll be great. Just go right down the road, go to San Diego, play for the Padres. $300 million.
So if I was
26 years old,
if I was Manny, what I would do, I would live in Carlsbad, find a nice house on the beach. And that way you can just take the train to work every day.
Ah, sweet. Don't even take the train driving. To work. Take How the awesome train is to that? Work. They should give him his own car, right? Like back in the day when he had his, when all the rich will. People had their own car, right? Like, now I've got my own car. It's going to be leaving the Penn Station at 6:05. Make sure you're there.
And see, the good thing, San Diego doesn't really have bad traffic. They have rush hour traffic.
Yeah.
You know, I lived there for 12 years.
So if you go around like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it's not so bad.
Yeah, you're fine.
So a lot of cities, and it never ends. Like, rush hour is just the worst part of the day.
Yep,
right.
That's all.
It's just bad
rush hour
all day,
traffic.
But rush hour is the worst part of the day. So, good for Manny Machado. Bryce Harper, you are on the clock, baby. We'll see what you're going to get. If he's getting 300, somebody's going to offer him about 320. But then again, it might be 270. But I don't know about baseball these days.